You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, my guest is John Waldrop. With a gift for sensing and communicating emotions, John has realized alignment in his practice as a counseling astrologer. The greatest expression of his gifts is to serve the Earth by helping his clients remember why they came into the Earth journey at this time. John's metapoetic astrology gives voice to the struggle and glory of our evolution into frequency artists, creating the future of human life in the Earth plane. You can read John's articles and find out more or schedule a reading at www.senseofvisionastrology.com. So now, let's welcome John to the show. Hi, John. How are you?
I'm great, Lance. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, and also thank you for doing a reading for me, an astrological reading this week, which absolutely blew me away. So I am personal witness that your work is utterly amazing.
Oh, thank you, thank you. It's quite a blessing to get to meet with you in such a deep space through the lens of the chart.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And interesting, too, that you intuited so much about me, you know, that was happening at this moment. So it was perfect timing for me.
Yeah, you've been called to get some things done these days, haven't you?
Oh, yes. It's almost like... I've been, the DNA switch got turned on, and I've been called into public service or something.
Yeah, that would be a good, this Neptune on the North Node that happens a while back, that's called the DNA switched on. That would be a good way to say that, is that the DNA has been switched on indeed. Like you're a gong that's been... gong. You're vibrating now in your higher frequency, hey?
Yeah, we could call this the gong show then.
I love it.
Now, maybe we can find out while we're on this journey here, what is happening on the planet in general in terms of the astrology that we're all experiencing?
Well, the good news is, I guess it's good news in a sort of release or relief sense, is I think over the next couple of months we're gonna get a little breather from the intense pressures, for instance, that we were under last summer. Going deeper into 2012, it's gonna be we're definitely gonna ramp up into another layer of basically pressure by the guides, the outer planets in particular, that are guiding us deeper into our potentials as Earth dwellers to love our lives, which is, in my opinion, why we as souls come in, is to learn to love life in the Earth. And the outer planets essentially act as shamans, and they can act in sort of a harmonious way, or they can act in a, shall we say, cacophonous way. And going into next summer in particular, we're going to have a great deal of pressure to come into alignment with who we really are and to change the way that we have been living on this planet at this, you know, in the last 100 years in particular, but going back for quite some time.
Well, it's about time, as we all know. I think the changes are long overdue. Do you do any work on the USA chart as well, or is that just something that some people specialize in?
You know, I haven't spent a lot of time with it. I know people do work with that. In general, though, Pluto is going to be opposing the Sun of the United States, and that is essentially, it's, you know, not to be, I don't, without putting a gloss on it, let's just say that the experience will seem as though our luck has run out in terms of the forward momentum of the United States. Pluto, in Capricorn, where it is right now, is, you know, I think of Capricorn as the sign of the way, the path, the Tao, you might almost say. It's the sign that most loves to know where it's going and how it's going to get there step by step and so forth. And you could even think of it as the way we have been living. Pluto, on the other hand, is this almost like blowtorch energy coming through and sweeping off the fragments of egoic nature, sweeping off the fragments of everything that's not essentially true to the soul of whatever it's acting on. And so the United States Sun is in 10, 12 degrees of Cancer, and Pluto is going to line up opposite that at the end of 2012. And that will be an experience where the best efforts and intentions of this economic and political body known as the U.S. of A. will most likely run into some very intense oppositional factors, some very intense countering, thwarting of whatever the general aims are towards an election year. It's going to be very interesting, and I sense that just with that alone, without bringing in Uranus in Aries or Neptune in Pisces, you have the makings of a great deal of change in our country. But with the other two outer planets, you know, Aries is really this sign that's so misunderstood, because the reason Aries people seem to always be moving forwards to the next thing, you know, what's right in front of me, is because they don't want to be slowed down to be asked to take a look at what's really inside of them. And so Uranus is this planet coming along, and it's like showing us what's inside. Uranus is, could be called the planet that teaches us who we really are. And Uranus is in Aries right now, teaching us that who we really are is this multitude, this vast multitude of past and future lives that is present in each of us at all times. You know, seers and intuitives are tuning in more and more strongly to those energies, and they're just being brought to the surface, brought to the surface. So you take that energy and you put it in a square aspect to Pluto and Capricorn, which is what's going to happen next summer. You've got all of this tension to become who we essentially are, to come truly into relationship with all of our multiple layers of selfhood, and then also change the way we've been living. And this is going to be acting very strongly on the chart of the United States.
Wow.
Yeah. It's big stuff.
Yes, it is. Well, you know, these are times that we know there will be big changes because, or that there should be big changes because so many cycles are coming to a close, the most prominent ones ending sometime in the window of 2012. Have you also done much research or investigated into the astrology at the time of December 2012?
Yeah, I have been looking at that. And, you know, there's some really remarkable things happening at that time. But I think, you know, in my opinion, that's sort of going to be the midpoint of a shifting energy that could happen, could begin well before that, and could be wrapping up well after that. In other words, it's I don't expect... Personally, I don't expect there to be a sudden change from one day to the next. You know what I mean?
Right.
And going into the last, well, I looked at the chart for 12/21/2012, which is, of course, the day that many people are saying is so significant in this shift. And interestingly enough, the way that I work with the moon and the moon phases on that day, a significant energy for the chart of that day, the way that I read the charts, says that we are going to be a crowd of people sensing a sudden shift in group karma. That's actually the Pleiadian symbol for the moon's position on that day, a crowd of people sensing a sudden shift in group karma. And that's a really interesting thing, that out of all of the degrees in the whole zodiac, 360 degrees in the whole zodiac, that would be the one guiding us through that particular day. There are many coincidences or synergies or alignments in so many of these timing methods that we're looking at. And my personal feeling is that what we're being called to do, Lance, is to change within ourselves into more loving, community-centered human beings with a living relationship with the Earth, which is some part of what's been missing for the last couple hundred years in particular, you know, as we shifted away from agrarian lifestyles and shifted into urban electrical lifestyles, we sort of lost our sense of rhythm and community with the Earth. And in my opinion, that's a big piece of what needs to be restored, and which I believe the outer planets in particular are acting on us to remember that we are part of a community called humanity, and that humanity itself is in community with the Earth.
Yes. Well, you know, according to Carl Kellerman, on October 28th of this year, 2011, we graduated, so to speak, from the top or the ninth wave of the pyramid. And so technically speaking, according to that time frame, we've already hit the end of the Mayan calendar. But here we are in 2011, continuing on, and 2012 is yet another date in the Gregorian calendar.
Yeah,
and so on and so forth. So, but technically, that would indicate that we had moved into a co-creation or a collective consciousness of our interconnected awareness.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I was on the phone with Mahalo yesterday, and she, in her writing, had identified November 9th as the date that she thought that it happened. My writings, I have indicated that I thought it was November 9th as well. That was simply due to the shifting of Uranus, of Neptune into direct motion from its most recent retrograde period, and it's going to leave the sign of Aquarius. You know, it's been in the sign of Aquarius since about 1997. And it's going to go off into the Piscean realm for the next 15 years. Very interesting energy, that Neptune and Pisces. It's like that to me is the shift into the what you would call unitive consciousness, because you know, Pisces is really the sign of that what makes us the most human. It's this common experience of life at a very earthy, grounded level, which some people might find a strange description of Pisces. But Pisces is, to me, the electromagnetic ocean where our dreams live, where our, where we have contact with the elementals and the fairies and all of those things. It's an energy that we don't typically actually contact. And as Neptune goes into Pisces, it's going to bring that aspect of life more and more into focus. And, you know, historically, the last time Neptune was in Pisces was in the period leading up to the start of the Civil War, which it makes sense at a certain level, because you think of Pisces in that way, and then you think about the experience of observing other human beings in bondage, in slavery, essentially. And, you know, it's a situation that existed in the United States for 100 and some years before we actually decided to do something about it. And so one of the things I'm really curious about is what are the shifts into, you know, shifting from being bothered by something, for instance, our financial system, and taking action, which is what's happening now with the Occupy movement around the world.
There's
just a lot of pressure of that kind coming down in the charts. I mean, the last time Pluto was in Capricorn, which is where it is well into the 2020s, was presaging and leading up to the start of the American Revolution. So we have that energy going on. And then Neptune in Pisces, which it was last in the period leading up to the American Civil War. And then Uranus is in Aries, and the last time Uranus was in Aries was in the period leading up to the Great Depression. So there's a lot of shifting that's going on, and it's the kind of thing that's going to bring us front and center into taking action to make changes as we see them needed, you know.
Indeed, indeed. Well, some people have been talking about this period of time as a part of a recurring depression. That is, it will rival the Great Depression. And I've tracked this. There's a really good column written by George Urey called Peoplenomics and also Urban Survival. And he's been tracking this for quite some time. It's a pithy column. And I kind of expected the collapse of the economic system to happen in about 2009, and it didn't happen. So here we are, and if what you're saying is a portent of things to come, then it looks like we might be in for some excitement from any time now into next summer.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and then, you know, going on into 2013, indeed, the pressure, this Pluto opposition to the Sun of the United States, that just ramps up going into 2013. And, you know, that is Pluto. Another way to think of Pluto is it's the energy that gives rise to the phoenix. You know, to become the phoenix, of course, you have to rise from the ashes, which implies the ashes phase. And so, you know, I'm with you. It's likely. It seems, I mean, for all sorts of reasons. I have a fair amount of economic experience in my past, and I can tell you that there isn't any reason for the market to go up. I mean, there's just not.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah,
I don't think there are too many people listening to the show that aren't aware of the artificial pump you up quality that the powers that run things have been doing, and the takeover and the purchase of major countries that's going on right now.
Yeah, absolutely, Lance. And you know, there's this perspective that we could have on it, which I really invite people to consider, which is that it's all leading us somewhere. It's all part of the shift. Like, human beings do not choose to evolve from a place of comfort. They don't choose to evolve from a place of stasis. We choose to evolve when we need to evolve. And so, basically, the circumstances pressurizing us into taking action have got to be in place. And I mean, you could look back at 1963 through 68 as a period of time when, why didn't it happen then? You know, Uranus and Pluto were in a conjunction aspect in late 66 through 1968. This square that we're coming into now is like the evolution of that aspect into a much more action-oriented phase of it. The ideas that were brought into being at that time, the the movements that were started at that time. You know, as the tension lightened up into the 70s and early 80s, all these people who had had these wild idealist tendencies, wanting to live in community and in harmony with the earth and without war and all of those wonderful 60s ideas, I mean, they all kind of became yuppies. And we lost
right.
track of that movement. But now that this square is coming into play, that's a significant action taking place to say, no, those ideas were valid, and now we're going to act on them. This is what's going to happen next.
So some people look upon the period of the 60s that you were just talking about and the period that we are entering into or in now as kind of like bookends, which started then, and then this is the kind of the culmination of that energy. Is that a good way to describe it, like a bookend, so to speak?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I want to bring up the energy of Alpha Omega, or Chiron, as a lot of people call it, because that, interestingly enough, has a 50-year-long orbit. So the last time it was in Pisces was 50 years ago. To, you know, at that time, 50 years ago, the civil rights movement started. A lot of these feelings of being in unity and desiring harmony and so forth, I think could be attributed to Alpha Omega in Pisces at that time. Alpha Omega is essentially, I call it the planet that helps us to remember what we have always been looking forward to. If you can imagine a human being, you know, somewhere deep inside you, you have this sense of a better world. You have a sense of what's possible for humanity. You have an innate knowing that it doesn't need to be so shallow and superficial and artificial, you know? We
yes.
know deep down inside that we can do better than this, basically. And Alpha Omega is that planet which helps us remember that. So all of us who were born in the 60s are experiencing our Alpha Omega returns. It's coming back around through Pisces, and it is it's triggering that remembrance in so many people from that generation. And at the same time, just being in Pisces, it's helping us to be united at that deep subconscious level that I was talking about earlier. And the thing that's significant about this passage is that it will be joined by Neptune in Pisces. And Neptune in Pisces, again, is the energy that, in my opinion, started the Civil War. It's where we find ourselves so connected to each other at the basic level that we can't stand to see injustice done. I mean, Neptune in Pisces will not let the Palestinian situation stand as it is. It will not let the economic inequality existing in our world stand. It's going to bring forth a unified field of human experience through basically pulling away at all of the structures that are separating us from that. It's a very exciting time, in my opinion. I mean, if you think about it from a soul level, this is heavy duty. We have the good tickets. Like, my soul and your soul, they wanted to be here for this radical change. I think that that's really what souls love above all else, is radical change, transformation, and
yeah.
growth. And we are souls. I mean, I'm here to tell you that back in the time between lives, we were like, hey, give me some more of that Pluto in Capricorn. Because, yeah, I want some more of that Uranus in Aries. Let's get some of that. Let's get some of these big changes lined up. And we'll come in and we'll struggle back and forth, and there will be conflict which tries to derail our true sense of what is possible. And in the midst of it all, we will suddenly come forth with a story that is ours about how we saved the earth from the brink. And that's what we really want, is we want to own this story of surviving the end of oil, of surviving the end of America, perhaps, of, you know, so many of these giant institutions that are going to fall apart here. we want to do it with a climax and a crescendo and a crisis, and to make it exciting. And that's exactly what's happening.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, so that's some mundane astrology for you.
Wow. You also wrote an interesting article on the witch Mahala, so that people know, most people do know Mahala Gale.
Yeah.
She's a friend of both of ours, who's another Virgo, writes a wonderful monthly planet alert and does a lot of terrific work, but she posted your article on YU55 and its lessons to us.
Yeah.
Would you share a little bit of your thoughts about that?
Well, absolutely, Lance. I see all of the astrological bodies essentially as teachers. And, we can get hooked up into the notion that challenges are bad. For instance, when our fear is brought to the surface, or when our anger is brought to the surface, or any of these things, that it's a bad thing. But really, taking it from the perspective of, okay, my soul chose to come into a body. The body gives my soul the experience of emotions. I want to get these emotions. I want to feel them and get them. And, when you take that perspective and just start looking at any of these current events, including the visitation of YU55, it's, what did it trigger? It triggered emotions, and it triggered emotions that helped us see how, for instance, it's an opportunity to break free of the controlling fears, which essentially the powers that be, the entrenched elite, would like us to be afraid. I mean, the most revolutionary and outrageous thing you can do right now is be happy and not be afraid and look forward to this change and be willing to accept whatever's coming next. So everything that's going on right now is helping us take the step into a forward, future-oriented way of living instead of being hooked into pointing fingers back over our shoulders or at some other person, to actually take responsibility for the change within ourselves. I mean, that's, there's a lot of pieces to that, Lance. I mean, basically, that's one of the problems I have with putting definite dates on a lot of these transformational, energies that we're tuned into. It's because people can have a tendency to say, well, I'll just wait until December 21st of 2012 and I won't need to do the change within myself. You know what I mean?
It doesn't work like that.
And so basically that's January 1st of 2013 will come around, and March 1st of 2013, and then June of 2013 will come around, and we'll be going, wow, I still have work to do. I still have to, make change. And that's going to be a really interesting thing. So, in other words, all of these things, YU55 included, have been helping us become more and more present within just really who we are at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't reiterate enough what you said about the ultimate act of rebellion is to be happy.
Yeah.
And to not live in fear. That really is a vibration that is higher, and the negative elements that are attempting to lower the whole planet to a lower common denominator can't survive if we all are living in our own empowerment and taking responsibility for ourselves and are happy and not afraid. Because this whole paradigm that has been going on too long, which some people refer to as the patriarchy, depends upon fear.
Yes.
And it's not a legitimate fear. It's false fear fed by false flag events and numerous other things that are designed to scare the bejesus out of us.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, if we're not afraid, and like you said, we are here, we chose to be here, we jumped in at the soul level to be here and experience this and contribute to it, then it can become quite a fun game if we are owning our own power and stepping up to the plates that we have chosen already, kind of like Neo in The Matrix, you know, talking to the Oracle, where she says, you know, well, you already know what you chose. Now you're coming to me to figure out why you chose it. I think that's what she said, but anyway, you know what I'm saying.
That's just it, yeah. And, you know, there's so much juicy stuff just in this little last couple of moments in this conversation. I mean, just to bring up the word vibration, really what we're learning to do is to be creative with our vibration. You know, that's this frequency artist phrase that I've come up with recently and I'm using a lot. It's, you know, what is Abraham teaching us? It's that we get what we ask for, and the way we feel is what we're asking for. So if we're feeling afraid, if we're feeling doomed, if we're feeling like this is not fair, we're just going to get more of it.
Right.
If you want to shift into a positive future, you shift the way you feel. What you're emanating into the universe is what you get.
Yes.
And see, we used to know this as a species. We were gifted with this awareness, especially back in the Atlantean times. And it was in our seeking to have more, seeking to be even more, you know, basically to live without dying, essentially, is what we have. That's always been our sin, is to negate the beauty of death, if you want to use the word sin. Big word there. And, you know, as we go forward into this time, it's like, I want to vibrate a frequency which is allowing of all cycles, which is allowing of the cycles within me and allowing of the cycles within you, that recognizes that who you really are at any given moment could be 1,000 different particles of yourself that have existed in time forever and will always exist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is really about to me. It's like coming into contact with enough conflict. That's what the outer planets are doing, is they're just raising it up and raising it up so that we can shift it into creative, unified consciousness.
Wow. Very eloquently stated.
I'm glad you
and,
think so.
It reminds me of the movie and the research that was done that is called 100th Monkey Theory.
Yes.
And I know that people are familiar with that, so I don't have to explain it, but, you know, that's basically it, that we are creating or having a co-creation of this tension, this building tension, and at some point there has to be resolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, the 100th monkey effect is really, it's dear to my heart, of course. It's like, what a great motivation and impetus just to do the work. What if you... any one of us, we don't know who it's going to be, get
right.
The 100th monkey and it shifts. What if you're the one who, you know, it's like the little pebble that hits the slope and the avalanche starts. Any one of us could be that person.
Yes. Yes, and I've thought that all my life. I've had that feeling, and I even had a visual on it where at some point, everything will cycle around, you know, in eternity and in an infinite time space. Everything eventually cycles around, and there may be a moment when each one of us is the fulcrum where a thought, a mere thought, which is, weighs nothing, maybe a nanoparticle of energy, is the very thing that tilts the scales and the whole thing, the hologram shifts into another paradigm, which is you know, a wonderful new creation for all that is. So I do see that as a possibility.
Yeah, you know, I really appreciate the way you put that. It's it's coming to that, you know, in the midst of these wildly collective forces, these massive forces for change at such a broad scale, each of us has this power. And that's so unique to the human experience. We don't really know if dolphins, for instance, are creating as they go. Mm. But we know that humans are creating as we go. We are creating our worlds. I mean, quantum physics says that. The teachings of Abraham say that. All of the great masters have always said that. As you believe, so you shall see. And this is, you know, that word belief is one that has been belittled and ridiculed and stricken down by the rational, mental, fixated 19th and 20th centuries. Belief is, by Wikipedia definition at least, a psychological state wherein someone holds something to be true. Knowledge is a justified true belief. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, knowledge is something that you believe to be true based on all the evidence, whereas belief is something that you just think is true just because you feel it. That feeling part of it is the key, you know? And what I'm getting to here is this frequency artist thing that we're learning to do, this ability to create a unified, harmonious, beautiful Earth existence that each of us carries within us by design. It has to do with learning to feel truth again. It's like people are so afraid of following their intuition and their feelings because we don't want to be wrong. We don't want to be proven wrong. There's some cynical way of looking at people who follow their feelings. I'm, you know, like, caution, driver, following guidance. You know, I'm out there in front of you following my guides, and who knows where I might go. Oh, my God. But this is what we're doing, and it's like the whole structure has to be broken. Everything that we have counted on has to be broken. For instance, Einstein's theory of relativity and the speed limit of light being broken recently, it's like evidence that everything we ever thought about limits on anything is designed to be broken at this time. Limits on the power of the people, limits on justice and truth and joy and beauty. These things are the most powerful things in the world, and they're being brought to the fore by these tensions. Everything that we experience is to show us how great our neighbors actually are, how incredibly generous we as individuals actually are, you know?
Mm. It makes me wonder if there are some kind of divine archetypes that we are beginning to true up our reality to. In other words, we've experimented and experienced everything that can be, pretty much. I'm pretty sure of that.
Yeah.
The good, bad, and the ugly. And maybe this is a time when the pristine beauty and quality of these divine archetypes is beginning to radiate and shine through the energy that has been so dense for so long, and we're undensifying, perhaps.
That's really it, Lance. That's a great way to put it. You know, I mean, Pluto in Capricorn is undensifying everything about how we thought we should live. I mean, Capricorn has a lot to say about the word should this, should that, should be like this. And Pluto is taking away all of those things to let us be what we truly are, which is beings of energy.
Yeah. Yeah, I look forward to a time when there's no more deception and lies, manipulation, and false teachings going on. There's so many secrets that have been kept. In fact, there are so many secrets, I can make this statement fairly easily, being kept from us, which we actually have financed ourselves,
yeah.
That there's an entire civilization that is a breakaway civilization, which is referred to as Civilization One. We, the bulk of humanity, is still kind of toddling around like babies in dirty diapers in Civilization Zero. And there's a whole breakaway civilization that has advanced technology and, you know, the ability to do a lot of things that we hear about in the internet shows. And I do believe that that's true. So that has to be trued up and resolved in some way, and the truth has to come out. Is there anything that indicates that the truth will start to be revealed through all this deception that's been going on for so long?
Yeah, I mean, through the process of the polarity just getting more and more stark, you know, the idea that you have to know darkness to know what light actually is, I mean, that's another way to look at all of this that's happening right now. It's like we're humanity itself is being entered into a bit of a dark night of the soul. You would think that the vapid, spacey times that we've had in the recent, like, last 20 years might be the dark night of the soul. That would be like the entrance into it, I would say. And what we're going through now is where we start to hit ground and start to become real and honest. And yeah, the truth will out, no doubt.
Yes, and it seems that a large part of this has to do with our being shaken from the tree of materialism.
Yeah.
That we've had our day in acquiring things and stuff and titles and prestige and fame and fortune, and that just doesn't seem to, it's not satisfying for anybody that's in it. And when I look at some of these people that are still playing that game, I just get the sense that they're going through the motions, that even the people who have all this stuff are just completely fed up with it and just ready to walk away from life entirely, and they have what hundreds of thousands and millions of people seem to be clamoring for, the, you know, this and that and the other thing. So it truly does seem to be a shift from outer oriented pursuits to inner-oriented and to the spirit and the metaphysics and the invisible realms.
Yeah, what feels good, you know, what actually feels good is not, in the long run, over the term of a lifetime, it turns out not to have anything to do with what sunglasses you have and what car you drive. It has everything to do with how well you have loved your neighbors and your lovers and, you know, what you have given to people who are in need, your generosity, your charity. I mean, very old-fashioned notions. It's interesting, isn't it, that this is, in some way, the cutting edge of the evolution forward is back towards certain notions of neighborliness and all of that. I mean, you know, what
would community.
Jesus do? Yeah, Jesus would use his turn signal, you know? Jesus would put his shopping cart away. There's just... It's just little things like that that we can do, you know?
Yeah.
And,
and to be the one that smiles first so that the universe and others who, you know, maybe aren't on the same page, aren't having a good day, just that little smile can change the whole balance or equation for, you know, sending ripples of human kindness out into the world and some compassion, which seems to be sorely needed since it's been sucked out of humanity so rapidly by corporations and politicians and greedy bankers.
Yeah, you know, that's the frequency artist in action right there. When you're the one who is able to create the beautiful smile that makes the other person smile, and then, it ripples so far. And, oh, man, it's just such a subtle shift. It's such a subtle shift. And in so many ways, I think that each of us, what I see the purpose of the 100th monkey effect at this time is that enough of us realize that soon enough that there is no bloody revolution, there is no dramatic war as part of this shift. There is no doubt that our resource use is going to change. And
yes,
typically the people with the most resources fight the hardest to keep them and so forth. And what I really, really, really hope is going to happen out of all of this is that we are able to pray into a space where the people who would typically fight for, you know, dominance of the most will share in order to prevent bloodshed and warfare and mass die-offs and all of the things that could possibly come out of this shift. I mean, we have the ability to create the world as more and more of us shine our heart energy out, as more and more of us take on the role of the frequency artist. We have the ability to create the most beautiful world ever known in the history of mankind. That's what our souls are here to do. You know, it's not going to be the little civilization that couldn't. It's going to be the little civilization that did, you know?
Yeah, I love that. That's very beautiful.
Yeah, we can do this. And we can, and in the same way, with our heart energy, can heal the water. We can heal the air. You know, this is the power of human beings is that great. And we just, for some reason, want to know what it's like to almost blow it. And
yes.
You know, I mean...
I can hear you on that one. It does seem that we're allowing ourselves or creating the experience of being pushed beyond the wall. I mean, it's almost as if we're being ground into the wall itself before we rise up and, you know, wake up and snap out of it as a collective.
Yeah. It has something to do with desiring to own the shift, you know, to make it feel like, you know, when we tell the story three generations down the line, we look back to the early 21st century when it almost ended and all of the, and it's like those will be the fireside stories that keep the kids in line then, you know.
Yeah,
don't live outside of your heart. Don't make sure you remember to live in your heart, son, because look what almost happened back in the day.
There you go. Do you come into contact with some of your clients that you do astrology work for that you feel might be from the future with some kind of role here to play in the present, in our present that we're experiencing?
Yes, absolutely. I definitely do. There's some very, very key indicators. And then there's always the experience of finding somebody who is like leaping ahead of where what I see in their chart would indicate that they are. In other words, they're, that would be something like the walk-in.
I have done
people like that, where it's like, wow, you've already done this. Okay, let's move on. Oh, you've already done that. Okay, you know, that does happen.
Wow.
But, yeah, go ahead.
Well, that's all. I just was wondering about the walk-ins, too. You just mentioned that, and I have had friends who have either been or knew walk-ins that they were married to, so it's a real phenomenon.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I know that you have psychic gifts, and, you know, I can just say that I have had experiences in my own psychic domain that proved to me without a doubt that other forces are at work here and other forces are asking
to
help.
Yes, I would have to agree with that.
Yeah. I want to bring up, well, I don't know how much time we have, but basically December 24th of this year is a date that I would like to put forth as being a really a vibrational opening with a lot of potential to for shift to really go forward for a long time. And that's because it's a new moon, and new moons are always vibrational openings. Every month you get into this rhythm of the moon, you find that you can really get a lot of work done with the intentions that you cast on the new moon. But yeah. This one in particular, because it's the first moon of the 2012 cycle, it is Christmas Eve, so it's going to be a time when people are together and feeling community anyway. And then significantly to this one, the very next day, Jupiter goes direct, and we have no retrograde planets for the first 30 days of the 2012 moon cycle. So it's like whatever energies we set forth on that day will go forward. They'll go out into the universe and have a great deal of impact. And in particular, I'm cognizant of the symbol for the degree that this new moon happens in. You know, I work with John Sandbach's Pleiadian symbols and other symbol sets. They're sort of like a tarot card for each of the 360 degrees of the zodiac. And this particular new moon is happening in the third degree of Capricorn. And the symbol for that, the Pleiadian symbol for that, is a man drinks in the essence of a forgotten dream. A man drinks in the essence of a forgotten dream. And what I get from that is this is an opportunity to remember what we have always known, to remember what we're looking forward to as the ultimate power of humanity to create a beautiful and positive, harmonious world. I think it's the dream that we're going to be remembering is our ability to create the world that we live in, and to do so positively and with joyous heart energy. And so I'm putting out to everybody who will listen, and of course with your radio show I have the opportunity to tell a lot of people at once, December 24th, 2012, at approximately 10 in the morning Pacific time, is a time when whatever you pray for or vibrate out into the universe will go far towards changing the world in that positive direction that we want to.
Wonderful. Well, that is. I just wrote all that down on my notes, because I do take notes when my guests are sharing their experience.
Yeah.
And that is a wonderful thing to share with us all.
Thank you.
Do you have any more? we have a few more minutes left. Do you have any more of these wonderful experiences to share with us before we end the show?
Well, I just want to say that part of, in my opinion, getting into that co-creational heart space has to do with coming into an allowance for your own experience. It's like when we have experiences in our lives that we, you know, society or our parents or our employers or whatever find to be outside of the box and unacceptable, you know. Typically when we're going through big changes, like so many people are right now, we can try to negate our feelings. We can try to shut them down. And that just prevents them from flowing through and getting out, you know, being it's like we need to get finished with certain things. Some energies, some karmic cycles and things, it's actually like we need to wear them out, you know, to reach a point where we're consciously running the loop that we know is no longer serving us just one last time. Just like, no, I'll smoke one more pack of cigarettes and then I'm going to quit, you know. But having more to do with ingrained behavioral loops and so forth. And basically, I just feel like the power of astrology is to help understand the cycles of life, to see these rhythms of emotion within your own experience. I mean, I think that we found some really interesting and beautiful rhythms in your own reading, you know?
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about that.
Which
that was absolutely amazing.
what you brought forth and revealed to me in our reading together.
Well, thank you. It's just such an honor, and you know, that ability to look into the rhythm, you know, what is the turning point opportunity here in a person's given life? So much of it just has to do with when you realize that your birth chart and other charts related to your time of birth have the power to reveal so much about where you are. It's like it helps create that sense of perspective that our lives do have meaning. If something about the position of the planets at the time of my birth accurately depicts how I am in this lifetime, doesn't that say so much about the microcosm reflecting the macrocosm and so much about a soul experience in this life and so much about the teachers, the great natural archetypes and teachers that are out there? It just gives me a great deal of satisfaction to share this journey with people and see their eyes open up to the fact that they really are here for a reason, you know, that this whole transitional period is purposeful. There's more to it than just, it's not an accident, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, as a friend of mine used to say, there are no accidents.
I believe that too. I mean, except that we learn something faster than might otherwise
right.
be expected.
Right, exactly. Well, it is yeah. kind of a paradox, so it seems that a paradox seems to help with transcending the duality that we are transforming at the moment.
Exactly. Yeah, this is...
Well, John, we're just about out of time, and okay. I'd like for you to have a minute or two to be able to share your website with us and where people can reach you and find your writings and contact you about also having a wonderful reading just as I did.
Okay, Lance. It's www.senseofvisionastrology.com, SENSEOFVISION astrology.com. And on my website, you can find my recent writings, recent talks that I've given. And I want to point out, since we're coming into the holiday season, I do have gift certificates on there if you're interested in getting a reading for a friend or loved one. That's a really nice thing to do. And
oh, yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So you can contact me through there.
Yeah, what a wonderful gift to give instead of a piece of junk that will break down in a few weeks after the holidays. Yes, this is a lasting gift. That's a great one. Good idea.
Cool. Thank you.
Well, John, thank you for being on today, and I look forward to staying in touch with you and reading more of your writings, and you did a magnificent job on my chart, and so I wish you the best, and... thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you, Lance. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Talk to you all soon.